Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavor Coffee House Online Radio Style. I really am hoping that I'm going to have some callers tonight. My daughter asked me to bring up a topic on one of my shows, so I thought, you know, tonight let me try it and see if I can get somebody to respond. She asked that I talk about music and relationships, how music has affected the generations. You know, over the years, how we viewed music, how we used music, and how we were feeling in regards to our relationship, how music has changed over the years, and how that has had an influence on how men and women interact with each other, or any couple interacts with each other, or potential couples. So I'm really hoping that you will call in. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. Let's talk about music and relationships. I downloaded a bunch of music today that I thought that I could throw out there and get the conversation going. So I hope that you plan on joining me, you know, here at the coffee house, and let's talk about what you think about this. But until then, I'm going to play some music from the artists that are members of the Flavor News movement. And let's see, what direction do I want to go? Let's see, you know, I think I am going to start out with a piece by Eric Moore. He is an amazing spoken word artist out of the ATL, and this one is called Passion Fruit.
Who's written for you, made that lady sing the blues. Your beauty's a moment in time frozen, and it seems like I've been chosen as the target of your sexual buildup. You said, be gentle, cause you developed a heart condition over the years. You see, too many false promises and 3 minute sex sessions plus men afraid to return your love equates to you in a cold bed with a face full of tears. And I know, baby, I know I can't erase the past. That's not what I'm here for. I want to be the present that you cherish in your memory's future. I want to be the conversation that you have with your best friend that makes you smile. Make me the reason you touch yourself. Make me the reason that 9 months from now, you're in a hospital bed screaming out my name because you're giving birth to our child. And I understand that you need some time to break down that wall around your heart, to cast out all the fears that saturated your body throughout the years. Yeah, I understand. And baby, now I'm not perfect, but I believe that I'm perfect for you. But more than that, I believe that you're the woman that I've been searching for. You see, as long as I can remember in my mind's eye, baby, we've always been Mr. and Mrs. Moore. And no, you don't have to be married, because my feelings for you go far beyond words that are rehearsed by a pastor. But if you change your mind, I'm here for you with 2 rings, with the love of 9 lifetimes and 10 kings, infinite orgasms, moist mattresses and wet dreams. But before we taste that passion fruit called love, baby, I want you to. No, X that. Baby, I need you to be sure that this is what you want. Because I am.
Thank you.
All right, that was Passion Fruit by Eric Moore out of the ATL. I would imagine when he wrote that piece that he was thinking about maybe a particular relationship he was in or, you know, wanted to be in or whatever. And I think that a lot of music and art comes from, you know, connections and relationships that people have. And so, again, tonight, you know, I wanted to open up the phone lines and see if we could start a dialogue around music and how it has influenced relationships over the generations. I know that for me back in the day, there was definitely specific music that I pulled up, you know, when I had a crush on somebody, when I was feeling down and out about a relationship, when I was feeling grown and sexy, whatever direction, you know, my feelings were going. When it came to, you know, what I thought, even as a teenager, as a young adult, you know, I had definite, you know, reactions, you know, when it came to putting on a song, and I would play it over and over and over and over again. I see somebody's raised their hand, so let me bring them in. Caller from the 713, welcome to Flava Coffee House.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
You know
this is my dear friend.
Yes, it is.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, just try to make a quick stop by and say hello.
Are you having to go to work?
No. I'm changed shift now, so I'm kind of free in the evenings.
Okay. So did you happen to pay attention to the fact that I was going with a topic this evening?
Yeah, you was talking about music and, you know, where it's led in your life, basically. Is that what you're basically talking about? Or?
Well, my daughter Mariko had asked me if I would consider doing a show and talk about, you know, the state of music and how it has changed over the generations.
Oh, yeah,
and how it has
dramatically.
And how it has influenced, you know, how we think and feel in relationships or about relationships. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the music that I used to listen to, Delon, you know, in regards to, you know, how I felt back in the day,
uh-huh.
You know, compared to, like, music that's created now. And so, you know, what would your feelings be on, you know, the change in music?
Well, my personal perspective is that, it's funny, I guess I'll say that when you're younger, the stuff that's out and is hip at the time, you know, especially if you're not a parent, if you're, you know, young, if you're a teenager or whatever, you really don't see, in a lot of cases, you don't see harm in it or you think, hey, well, this is what's happening or whatever particular artist is speaking to you at that time. And then when you grow older, you kind of look back and say, wow, you know, what was I listening to? Or why did I listen to that particular artist when they may not have been giving a proper message? And it doesn't mean that every artist, you know, it's getting dramatically worse one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be argued. But, you know, I know for me, I grew up, you know, I was born in 68, so... you know, I've seen the arrival of rap and, you know, and other forms of music. And I've seen R&B dramatically change. I've seen, you know, different things like that. And when I was younger, you know, there was, you know, some artists that were out there just like, oh, wow, that's crazy. You know, that's hip, you know, and or whatever, you know. But then
right.
as a grown, you know, 44-year-old man who's a parent now, there's just some things that I just won't allow my own children to listen to. You know what I mean? You know, there's, I think that's where my head is on that.
You know, it's funny because when I was a kid and I would go two doors down to my godmom's house, you know, she had the stereo. My mother and father did too, but it was mostly like church music my parents played, you know, with my daddy being a minister and all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did allow me as I came into my teens, you know, to purchase my own music. So it was like, you know, the Jackson 5, the Temptations, you know, the Supremes, Marvin Gaye. I did have some of that type of music. Mm-hmm. But it was so funny when I would go, you know, two doors down to my godmom's house, and she'd have, you know, my aunties and, you know, friends over. We weren't allowed in the same room. And, you know, they were playing things like Marvin Gaye and Al Green and stuff like that. But we weren't allowed in the room, you know. And that music nowadays wouldn't even be considered anywhere near being risque, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that, you know. But, you know, I think about music. And it's so funny, DeLon, because, you know, I think that your style of music to, you know, your voice and all of that, that you are the kind of person that would create classics, you know, that would that people could remember. And, it makes me think about music that's being created right now, or can it even compete with the Motown days and when music was being created that we just can remember, you know, 40 years later, you know, 30 years later, and still sing the songs as if it was yesterday.
Right.
And I find that interesting to me. But one of the gentlemen, when I put it up there, you know, like what music kind of represents how you think and feel about relationships. The gentleman put up I Wish It Would Rain by The Temptations. So let me play that. Mm-hmm.
And gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish it would rain.
DeLon, how this is really kind of sung from a male's perspective, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the sorrow, you know, that he's feeling in regards to a relationship, and that, you know, you just can't just like just up and just cry, you you know, about feeling sad about something, you know, so you kind of wish it would rain, you know, so it kind of hide that.
Right.
And so do you think that when music like that was being created, because then, you know, Smokey Robinson has the song Tears of a Clown,
mm-hmm.
you know, back then, do you think that men were a little bit more sensitive when it came to the music they create compared to what's created now?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, you know, as I was thinking while Temptations was playing, you know, we also have to keep in mind that, like, you know, at one point, remember Elvis, who was considered one of the greatest artists of all time, was, you know, when he was, you know, gyrating his hips and stuff, you know, that was like, you know, oh my God, you know, they was banning him in some places, you know, because it was
right.
just like, you know, he had went, quote unquote, too far. But now that's, you know, that's nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a generational thing. But as for men opening up, I think it's, I don't know. I think it was a thing whereas, like, I know I like to write from that kind of perspective of love and of feeling and emotion. And I think sometimes maybe things are a little too macho, or maybe we're not, or maybe we're missing the message of what's out now. I don't know. You
mm-hmm.
know, kind of a hard thing to say, you know. You know, is it a crime for a man to cry? You know what I'm saying? You know, and I guess that's where it comes down to. I guess it depends on, you know, who you are and how you receive certain messages in music, you know.
So can you think of anybody nowadays that has written a song like that? I'm so not up with, you know,
yeah,
mainstream artists right now.
You know what? I got to be honest. I would. The only person that I would say that's kind of close like that who is like, you know, kind of confessional, and I'm not trying to, it's no pun intended, but like someone like Usher, and I think since he's gotten older, you know, he kind of writes from, you know, I mean, he's put a lot of stuff, you know, biographically out there, you know, about his relationships and things like that. But also keep in mind with the music industry, the way it is, you know, it's built for the young cats. And I'm not saying they don't go through things or experience things, but they haven't lived long enough to really, really go through some stuff. And I think that may reflect itself because, you know, they're young and they're, you know, vibrant and, you know, everything is good. And, you know, it's about, you know, dancing and having a good time, you know, or whatever, you know. At least that's my perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could be wrong. I'm sure someone will correct me. But.
No, right. And, again, I would definitely open up the phone lines if anybody else would like to join in. I'm just curious to hear what you think, and I may try to do the show another time, too, just to see if we can get more people to participate in it. But, Delon, my sissy out in New York is on the line, so let me bring her in, too.
All right.
Miss Spicy.
Hi, Cece.
How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm very good. So I want to talk about tonight, you know, music and how it has changed over the generations, what kind of effect it has had on people, you know, and has it really kind of influenced in how, you know, we see, you know, relationships. I remember, you know, well, you know, not that I really want to go into any dark secrets about me or my stories, but, you know, I was married to an abusive man for 7 years. Well, not, I wasn't married to him, but I was with him for 7 years, married to him two of those years. And he actually really honestly could sing. Very handsome man. You know, we'd walk down the streets and people would come up to him and call him Billy D. Williams, you know, and, you know, of course he absolutely loved that. And it was like people, you know, had no idea that this man was extremely abusive, you know, behind closed doors. But he would sing to me and, you know, the it was, you know, songs of how sorry I am, you know, or baby, you know, we're, I'm standing alone on the stage singing, you know, this song to you, whatever, you know, and it's like, you know, in the beginning it meant something, but of course over time it meant nothing, you know, okay. but there were songs that, you know, were played or were sang, you know, when somebody wanted to say they were sorry, or songs, you know, like the first song that a couple dances to at their wedding. You know, there were specific, you know, songs that kind of meant something or were referenced, you know, when it came to something in a relationship. What do you think about that, Sissy?
Oh, there were songs, but when you think back, as time on, let me pose this question to you. Did you love yourself back then? And there's a reason to why I'm asking that question.
Did you ask if I loved myself? Okay.
I said, yeah, yes. Oh, have mercy.
You're fine.
I asked you a question. I'm saying that about your ex.
So you were asking about my ex.
Okay. I miss him about you at that time because you're covering a topic that I'm trying to get through to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes kills me to sit back and watch because I see the effects and I know. It's when the pain gets great enough, but there's one question that keeps, because she's, I feel like this, and I stay with my children's father. That was kind of sort of be me, and I can see it. It's like I didn't have my disability. I'd be breaking my back. So I could see me faintly in her situation. And I can't with yours as well. I think you said, did you love yourself back then?
When you know, in the beginning, I mean, my relationship with my ex was, you know, I mean, it was such a roller coaster, you know, and you know, at times when he sang to me these songs, it meant something, you know, and it would possibly make things better, you know, but unfortunately. You know, as I stated over time, you know, he was abusive. And so I got to a point like it meant absolutely nothing, you know. But even at that, you know, when he and I broke up and I finally decided to leave him and divorce him, you know, there were songs that I played, you know, that helped me own my feelings. And I don't know if people nowadays go that direction, and if there is music created, you know, now that kind of helps you in a healthy way, you know, go through what you might be feeling.
Yeah.
I feel like this, I'm still going through my child. I'm going to throw it out there because he needs no computer. And I know this to be true. And he don't know nothing about no computer radio. So I'm going to throw my out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have image, like, every so often there's a song that's played on cable. And it keeps a feeling, yes, because of my disability. And not many men look at me as they look at other females because of my voice and my so on and so forth.
Sure.
And it's like, it bothers me, but I know I just have to give and go.
Right. Well, so, and I definitely can understand, you know, your feelings in regards to, you know, your speech impediment and all of that, and you know, feeling like people don't, you know, may not be drawn to you. I mean, there are times, honestly, Spicy, that I have felt that way about my own self, you know, over time or whatever. You know, and I think even at that, you know, there are times when, you know, you could daydream and listen to a song and it just kind of takes you there as far as just fantasizing about what it would be like to be in a certain relationship. Or if you have, you know, a crush on somebody, you know, you know, listening to a piece or a song or whatever, you know, kind of takes you there. I mean, even like reading a book or watching a movie, you know, how many times, at least for me, I've walked away from a movie saying, oh my God, I wish that I had a so-and-so in my life, you know, or whatever. But I think that, I think music's that powerful. I was having this conversation with J.C. Cage from Black Stacks, and I said, you know, I wonder if artists really, really understand the power that they have in what they create. Because when we experience their art, their music, you know, their books or whatever, it you know, if it's done really well, we connect with it. And it can take us, it can influence how we think and feel. I think that if, you know, for instance, if there's a track that calls women bitches or whatever, you know, and a man, you know, or somebody's going through a negative place in their, you know, in their life with women or whatever, I mean, it kind of takes you in that direction. That's disturbing to me, you know, when there's music like that that's created now.
I got a good one for you. You know that song, by TLC, No Scrubs?
Mm-hmm. No Scrubs. Mm-hmm.
With my children's father at the time, and he would do things to burn me up so bad, I was no good scrub. One night, he turned and called me a pigeon. I said, I got your pigeon for you. Get your so-and-so, blah, 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 out.
Mm-hmm.
Just a dig on pigeon. Your pigeon is what everyone to be. But he, and the reason I did call you, I called her, you don't do crap, but do what you want to do, which is nothing. Then he's stupid. He's looking now, but if he hadn't done what he did, we'd still be together.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's
sad. Right. Well, let me jump into another track. And this was a track that one of my favorite love story authors said that, she, you know, I believe she played when she was either a teenager or a young adult in college or whatever for somebody that she had a crush on. And it surfaced with Closer Than Just Friends.
Thank you.
They don't write like that anymore, and everything is so up-tempo and fast, and I think sometimes, you know, unless you're really paying attention, you can kind of miss the message. So, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm a little more old school, you know, so.
Well, I think that, you know, it's so funny because I know that I'm old school. I do. I know that I am, mm-hmm. you know, but honestly, doing Flava News Radio has opened me up to, you know, really exploring, you know, what I can appreciate. And there's definitely music that I absolutely love. And then there's other music and pieces that I'm challenged by. And I've learned to have an appreciation because of the quality or the relevance or, you know, the lyrical content and all of that, you know. But I definitely feel like, you know, music that was created back in the day, you know, made sense to me. It helped me, you know, continue to embrace relationships and stuff. And sometimes when I turn on the radio here in Seattle, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, like, really, is that something that's considered good, you know,
right.
you know, or whatever? And I'm like, okay, I'm just really kind of confused by this. And speaking of that, you know, let me jump into a track, and I'd really love to hear you guys' opinion on this. This is, you know, this is Make Me Proud by Drake and Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
I like a woman with a future and a past. A little attitude, problem all good, it'll make the shit last. Don't make it too easy, girl, don't take it too fast. Yeah, that's it right there, that's it, do it just like that. Only you could do it just like that. And I love it when your hair's still wet, cause you just took a shower. Running on a treadmill and on the eating salad. Sound so smart, like you graduated college. Like you went to Yale, but you probably went to Howard, knowing you. Weekend in Miami, trying to study by the pool. Couple things do, but you always get it done. Might have been a time where I loved her too, but you take that away and you always been the one. One, I wonder why the moon looks nice, girl. Maybe it's just right for the night. You see niggas coming on too strong, girl. They want you in their life as a wife. That's why you wanna have no sex, why you wanna protest, why you wanna fight for your rights. Cause you don't love them boys, pussy run they think, fuck that noise. I know things get hard, but girl, you got it, there you go. Can't you tell by how they looking at you everywhere you go? Wondering what's on your mind, it must be hard to be that fine. When all these motherfuckers wanna waste your time, it's just amazing, girl. And all I can say is, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Everything's adding up, you been through hell and back. That's why you're bad as fuck and you
better in. All of them bitches I'm better than. Mansions in Malibu, Babylon. But I never mention everything I dabble in. And I always ride slow when I'm straddling. And my shit's so wet, you gotta paddle in. Gotta roll, gotta roll your boat. It's Pink Friday records on the RBO. Send this to Pop Tow, I'm the realest steel. The best legal team, so the deals is ill. That's Mac OPI in the fragrance too. Apparel, I'm dominating every avenue. Cobblestone, good you, little gravel too. Gotta pay for the underage travel too. Cause I flip, fly, I'm flying high. Ain't got time to talk, just high and by, bitch.
Things get hard, but girl, you got.
right? That was Make Me Proud by Drake and Nicki Minaj. So is that piece, like, flattering?
Well.
No.
The sad reality of it is that that's what sells now. You know?
I don't give a hoot, Nene. No, it's not flattering.
It didn't do anything for me, but, you know.
This one going when it means that she had in that song doing some fighting words.
So why do you think that young people are attracted to it?
That's what they're given. That, you know what I mean?
So do you think that if we were to go back to back in the day and that's what was played on the radio and sold in the stores or online, the young people would...
Well, there,
it
would have to be a different type of teaching. Like, for instance, my 13-year-old son, he knows
mm-hmm.
a lot of old school because that's all that we play
mm-hmm.
in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't, you know, sure, I'm sure my son's probably, he may have even heard that song just now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's up on some of the stuff that's out now, you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's a generational thing, but. You know, but he knows a lot of, you know, Temptations and Michael Jackson and, you know, people like that, you know, because that's the stuff that, you know, my wife and I play, you know, in the
right.
house. You know what I mean? So, and until that kind of reorganization is kind of put into place, that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, I mean, plus with the mass media and the marketing, you know, this is what they're given. So they really don't honestly know any better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, as long as you can sell records and that are platinum, you know, saying all that stuff, then that's what, you know, our children are exposed to, and that's what they're going to gravitate to. You know, the beat's hot, you know, I can't deny that, you know, the beat
mm-hmm.
itself is hot, you know what I'm saying, that's going to be bumping in a club where a lot of the young people are, you know, I don't really go to clubs like that unless it's a performance or something, but
mm-hmm.
that I have to do, but, you know what I mean, it's, that's what it is, you know what I'm saying, and I, you know, and I myself have to be careful about how far I complain because I'm in a couple of rap videos myself, but I know that I don't know that message. That song didn't do anything for me. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a lot of ego that's placed in these songs. Like, you know, back in the stuff that you and I grew up on, you know, there wasn't this thing about ego. Maybe the person performing it may have had a huge ego for all we cared, you know, for all we knew. But in the song, that's not what it came across. It was about, you know, let me hold you, you know, let me be there for you, you know, these different type of things. And it was, you know, tenderness and all that, you know what I mean? So it wasn't that thrown in your face like, you know, I'm trying to outshine you, I'm the man, and you know, and you're my, you know, bee or whatever, and I'm a ride or die with you. You know, it didn't have those kind of things in it. You know what I mean? So
right. Well, for anybody that's just tuning in tonight, we're talking about music versus relationships and what type of influence music has had over the generations and how we, you know, felt about relationships, feel about relationships, and all of that. So if you would like to join in on the conversation with Delon out of Houston, Texas, and Spicy Ree out of New York, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. Okay, now I'm going to take us back in the day. And this is music that I know came out when I was in middle school. This is Brick House by the Commodores.
She this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man.
By the Commodores. So was that risque music for back in the day?
It wasn't really risque, but you know, it was getting close to the edge, but it wasn't vulgar. Like, you know,
right.
You know, some stuff that you can hear, it's just like, wow, like that's really over the top. You know what I'm saying?
For me. My mother sees me behind that song. She swear I have a shape. So she called my government course, and she go, I asked her what, and she go, you have a broadcast. I said, get it, leave it alone. And she go, laugh, but in her laugh, it was, she was teasing me to hurt me. She was just teasing me because nobody else, she wanted my safety, I guess. And she teased me that I was up here jamming.
So if a guy came up to you and said, "Ooh, Spicy, you are a brick house," or whatever, right? I can't even talk, right? But, you know, would you be flattered?
Depending on how his tone was, his voice, I listen for the fine tooth notes. Not many people do that. So
right.
Depending on the person and have this fear, they make me think it was a compliment or a negative or vulgar. So.
Okay. So you know what? I'm going to go I'm going to play another track, and you know, you guys tell me what you think of this one from back in the day. Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets.
Your love surrounding me. Oh, 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 oh.
All right, that was the Isley Brothers with Between the Sheets. Now, was that risque for back in the day?
Yeah,
it was, but it was still it still left something to the imagination, which I guess is really the point. You know what I mean?
I agree. You know, because I honestly can remember who I was dating at the time, who I was seeing at the time of that particular song. And I'll be honest, you know, going to the clubs and dancing with him, it didn't necessarily meant it led to going home and actually getting between the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was a great song, you know, to slow dance with, and the kind of more of that more sexy type of slow dancing, but not vulgar, you know. Which, you know, some of the dancing has become, you know, nowadays or whatever. But, you know, and I pulled some of these tracks just because we had a little bit of what could be considered risque, you know. But I agree, Delon, that it wasn't to the point where it's just outright raw. You know, it still left, you know, some imagination to, you know, what, you know, sexuality is all about or whatever, and going in that direction of a intimate relationship, where I think that music that's created now is much more explicit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of scares me, you know, because there isn't much period that's left up to the imagination.
Right. But just to show you how far we've become, how far it's gone now, and you're going to laugh at this one, but I was watching Casey and JoJo from Jodeci. They had a their show Come Clean, and JoJo said he was like, you know, he doesn't know what these people are doing now. He was like, you know, the stuff that, you know, like the New Editions, the Boys to Men, the Michael Jackson, you know, people from back in the days. He said those people really created art and stuff. He said he doesn't know what this stuff is now. He's like, you know, all it is a slow melody, but they're not really saying anything. And this is coming from someone who was in Jodeci that had some lyrics of their own that was kind of out there sometimes, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, it, you know, so do you think, you know,
isn't it only the lyrics that get you going? It's also like music today is like music when we came up, because we still have, they still play instruments. They don't play instruments. They hit a key on a keyboard and that's the melody. So,
right.
Right, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You're right. Back in the day, there was live instrumentation, where now it's all, you know, produced through a keyboard, like you say. You can make drums or horns or anything off of a keyboard.
Yeah. Just like the friend I was telling about to have you interview him, he said, oh, I see him. Yeah. And make music on a keyboard. But the truth of that is, if you know how to blow a trumpet, blow a trumpet. Just don't say that because it's easier. If you memorize the keys, the notes with your fingers, even though you're going through your own change to your eyes, you more so listen than hear when you're playing music. So it's not a keyboard like the piano or organ.
Right, exactly.
Or even a xylophone.
Sure.
If you hit the keys correctly, you're going to hear the notes you want to hear.
Right.
That's why I appreciate him so. Because you could hear F sharp and distance and pick it up. But
right.
Then play on the keyboard.
Right.
So the oral tone has something to do with it. It's not so much the lyrics, it's oral tone as well.
No, right. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that they can add to computerize a person's voice. You know, I'm sure they could even make me sound like I could sing. I don't know, but, you know, because that would be a lot of work or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you think about, you know, just the production of music from back in the day to even, you know, it now. I'm not sure if you can necessarily identify it as, you know, great musicianship. I do think that there are producers out there that definitely know how to put the different sounds together to make it sound amazing, you know, but I think we definitely have come up in a time now where it's taken music to a different direction. I think relationships have definitely gone in a different direction. I had put it out earlier today. You know, I feel like back in the day when I was young, even as a young person coming into the age of being a teenager to being a young adult, I think that relationships were valued much more. You know, this friends with benefit is loosely used. Back in the day, you kind of knew it was going on, but it was so hush hush. It wasn't out in the open, and it wasn't necessarily something to be proud of, you know. And so I think that many people, no matter what their age are, struggle with really, really feeling connected to somebody else, trusting, you know, the intimacy and all of that. So I played this the other day on my Flava Pick show and opened up the phone lines for conversation on this particular track. I almost wish that I had the raw version uploaded, the unedited version right now, just to play it. But I'm going to play the edited version because that's what I agreed to on this particular show. But LL Cool J is making a comeback to hip-hop. And, you know, he's going to be celebrating this coming year his 30 years in the industry. So this is his brand new single that just came out. It's called Ratchet. Again, this is by LL Cool J.
One more time. I want it to be perfect. Been with your ratchet.
Yeah, I'ma get mine.
A little money to gas. I should've never been with your ratchet. Yeah. You gave up the brains, now you coming with the games. Standing in the mirror, trying on my chains, smiling. Baby, you want some champagne? You need a towel? You going out the train? If so, can I drive the range? Pick up Melissa, Jennifer, and Lorraine. Oh man, here we go. The last dude you was with must have been slow. Ever since your girlfriend made the intro, 10 of y'all all packed up in the rental. You gave me a look that made it real simple. We could get it in, you know, video. But I ain't Ray J, you ain't Kim K. Cancel the cameras, we can match all day. Make a pit stop, hit it in the hallway. Apartment upstairs is Bumpin' Cool J. 10 minutes later, you're holding my hand. Got your head up on my chest like I'm really your man. I'm thinking to myself, is this part of the plan? Where you going with this? Don't understand.
She's so ratchet, oh. She's so ratchet, oh. She's so bad, we can go cash at it.
Never.
First I'm gonna smash it, then I'm gonna leave it.
Lean.
You ain't gonna do me like you did, yeah, neither. I'ma get mine.
I should've never been with your ratchet.
Yeah, I'ma get mine.
A little money for gas.
I should've never been with your ratchet. Yeah. Hunger Games begun. Sitting on the side of my bed, count my ones. Talking about me and you would make a cute son. Convincing me you ain't really seeing no one. I love spending time with you, but so fun. I'm thinking to myself, please, I'm done. It's unreal. I guess I should blame it on them damn high heels. The way your skin looks when your silk blouse peeled. That damn D'Angelo in his How Does It Feel. You went from jump off to G4 Jets. All type of baller saying I got next. I should've ignored you when you sent that text. Knew I couldn't afford you when we first had sex. Had to do it anyway. And I would do this all over any day. Cause you're a nasty thing. when you find dining.
She's so ratchet, she's so ratchet, she's so bad, we can go cash at it. First I'm gonna smash it, then I'm gonna leave it.
Leave.
You ain't gonna do me like you did, yeah, neither.
I'ma get mine. I should've never been with your ratchet.
Yeah, I'ma get mine.
A little money for gas.
I should've never been with your ratchet.
Yeah.
My pockets feel light. Woke up this morning and something wasn't right. The numbers are all off. You got your hair done and it looks all soft. Can't find my knot, no place. You're giving me the innocent poker face. I feel weird when we embrace. You treat my house like it's our place. And you go hard in the bed. Am I doing that much or do you need meds? I mean, I believe what you said, but you were screaming as you was giving me aggressive shopping and credit card dropping. Relax, baby, ain't none of that popping. Once that starts, ain't no stopping. The swap meet got real good cuts. They ain't getting a check, B.
All right, that was Ratchet by LL Cool J. So, DeLon, what's your thoughts on that?
You know what? In a way, and I'm not trying to defend him, but he's had stuff like that before, so I kind of, I'm not overly surprised. I mean, the song was okay, but I don't know. There's a lot of ladies out there that love Cool James, so I don't need all them people. I don't need them coming after me. My wife's one of them. You know, hey, he got the sex appeal thing going on and all that, and you know, he's been in the game for 30 years, so to some degree, I guess he gets a pass, but I don't know. The song didn't really do anything for me. I wasn't crazy about the hook, but, you know, it was all right.
but it's definitely not one that embraces women, right?
No. But, you know, I guess he was talking
about... Are you scared?
But I don't think anyone else is listening right now. To play devil's advocate, there are those kind of women out there.
Yeah,
that,
no, I agree.
You know, but, you know, I don't know. It didn't really...
and you're laughing. Look, Spicy, DeLon's all tongue-tied. He can't even discuss what he thinks and feels about LL's new song.
Well, okay, here we go. I like the beat, but when I listen to the hook, and to me, the hook needs to be worked, because if we're Texas per se, and him and the whore about us, you know, the money issue and so on and so forth. I believe she did a little thing. But then again, LL Cool J is known to be a bubblegum rapper, meaning that he does these nice songs, kind of, sort of. But the beat it's a nice beat, but it goes easy. And, yeah, he got swagger, DeLon, but he ain't no better chicks.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, I played it for the kids at my job, you know, and I played, the ones that I played it for, they're 21. And, I said, so what do you think? They laughed kind of like DeLon. I don't know if it was like they was like scared to give me an answer, but they all liked it, you know. And I think the interesting thing is that it really was the beat that grabbed them, that it said, you know, they said that they would get up and dance to it. They did recognize that it's not necessarily embracing, you know, relationships or women or whatever. But even at that, it's kind of like one of those songs you would find yourself singing the hook, even though, you know, he's saying, I get rid of your ratchet ass, you know. And I mean, he talks about having sex with the F word to, you know, oral sex in this song, if you hear the raw version, you know. So it's like, okay, like,
I heard the other day when you played it, and I like the beat. I don't like the lyrics.
Right. Right. And I guess, like, for me, you know, when I was sent this and asked to play it, you know, I really just, you know, I had mixed emotions about it, and I still have mixed emotions. And I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I felt like somebody with the caliber of LL Cool J, you know, that he could change the game. He doesn't have to play into what is being accepted out there right now, you know, in the music industry. He could change it, and I think that there are people who would pay attention and appreciate it, you know, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Up and up, he's been called from A to P on his CSA rep. I guess this is him bringing out more hardcore of him out.
Out there.
So therefore, they can't say, oh, you done did this and third. Now you must step up. I guess this is him stepping to the plate. But really, he's stepping down because if he was to do one of his old songs compared to this song right here, let's say he did I Need Love compared to this song right here, or Runaway Girl. Runaway Girl, so close to same issues he's speaking of in this song, but they're not throwing out there like this. He's trying to compete with kids. He know he's too damn old. He better go see the...
You know, and I mean, I understand that, you know, you saying that him being old, I still think, I mean, you know, you already did talk, but the man still has a sex appeal, you know, for young women and older women, you know, and I still think that he has enough power in the industry, and with him being out there as an actor and everything, that he has the power to do something a little bit different and be respected for it. You know, but that's just my opinion.
I'm not saying he's old. I'm saying he's older than what Lil Wayne is. He's older than this Russell on Love and Hip Hop is.
Right.
And then he's a gangster rap. Yeah.
Right.
Be a gangster, but you got... If you are a gangster, it's like you can be there, but you can still put nice songs and don't degrade yourself or women.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but without us, you wouldn't be here.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's old, but he's old enough, like you said, to be respected. But no, he's trying to get around these kids that are preteens and teenagers, and they don't, they're basically saying, go to them, you too damn old. But then he put out a song and revamped the lyrics, I guarantee you, LL Cool J will be back.
Right.
But not
well,
with this song.
Okay. Well, this is his jump out track, you know, so they're testing the waters, I'm sure, and just seeing, you know, what the reaction and where people are gonna go with this, you know, with this particular track. So, you know, it'll be interesting to watch and see. So, Mr. DeLon.
Yes.
Can I put you on the spot?
Okay.
So can I get you to sing?
All right. Let's see. I'm a little rusty, but let's see. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to try something, a piece of something I just started working on.
Okay.
It's kind of fits into the theme. I'm in love all over again.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
We've been together many years, and how they went by. Just when you think that time stands still, you look up and realize how much is gone. But I wouldn't ever want to turn back, because all in all the years were good, we stood against all odds. I'm in love all over again with you. It's because there's no better woman, and I'm in love all over again with you. How about that?
Ah, that's beautiful. See now that for me, if somebody was to sing that for me, Delon, I would be in heaven. You know, if I was in a relationship and we'd been together for a while and out of nowhere, you know, my man came up and started singing or playing that particular track for me, I would just be... I would just fall in love all over again. You know, I mean, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You know, just a little something.
But see, I know that's your style. You know, that it's, you know, I have always sensed, you know, that relationships are important to you.
Right.
From family to, you know, being in love and being in a committed relationship and you know, and all of that. I've never sensed that you know, take those type of things lightly. And so and just with that, you know, I mean, I've never heard that before. You know, speaks exactly what I think and feel about, you know, what you create.
So, you know, that's a little something I wrote, and, you know, got to work the kinks out, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just a little something there. You know.
So was this, well, can I ask, was it inspired by your beautiful wife?
Yeah, you know, I got to give her the credit where it's due, yeah. You know,
yeah.
I just wrote it like, I mean, I, you know, I don't write everything around my wife, you know what I mean?
Right.
But,
right. No, I understand.
But, yeah, on that one, yeah, because, you know, I think sometimes if you can talk the lyrics to somebody, you know, your words, you know, it can make a lot of sense to somebody. Like, I can
mm-hmm.
I can talk this to somebody, and they would be able to understand where I'm coming from. You know what I'm saying? I'm not
right.
repeating myself over and over and over, and I'm not running through it, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's where the message has to come through. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you know, like I've, you know, said to you before, is that a lot of, especially women, you know, 35 and older, get into what I do because, you know, they feel like, You know, they say all the time that nobody makes music for us anymore, and they're not saying it as a disrespect to the younger cats. They're just really saying that they're really hungry for someone to make songs and music that, you know, that they're comfortable with, that's something that they can relate to. You know what I mean?
And I agree with you. There aren't enough artists out there that created music that a certain generation can appreciate now. I was saying this to somebody not that long ago, how, you know, there are people who are stuck in the back in the day of, you know, the Smokey Robinson and the Temptations and the Four Tops and the Whispers, whatever. And, you know, and we'll go and download their music and still listen to it today. You know, some even have, you know, still have stereos and 33s and 45s, you know, that they listen to that music. And I do think that there are artists out there now that, that continue to make that because it's kind of the generation that they came from and they understand what relationships, you know, meant back then. And that we still kind of desire that feeling now, depending on what the age is. And I know that I do, you know, because, again, even like when I was going through and downloading music today, you know, in regards to doing this show that my daughter requested me to do, you know, it made me smile, you know, going back and thinking about, you know, who I was seeing or where I was at a time. And that's what that music can do for me. Yeah. I don't know if there's music that's being created right now that can make me think that, like, you know, where was I at the time, the first time I heard that song, or who was I with at that time, right. You know. But I do think that with your style, and that's why I said earlier in the show, Delon, that, you know, I think that you have a style that is endearing, you know, that hits an emotion, especially for women, I would say, that just kind of takes us there and say, this is how we want to feel, right. You know, and all of that. So with that said, I'm going to play a song. You know that I work very closely with Mark Van Claggett, and he is a veteran, you know, in the industry. He spends he calls it his day job, but he travels the world on a regular basis. Like right now, he's out on tour. He's headed to Nassau, and he'll be out actually, you know, touring for over a month now. You know, but he tours as a member of a group called Tribute, and they sing only Temptations music. But he is also an amazing singer, songwriter, composer, you know, musician himself. And you know, when I first heard his music about a year ago, I fell in love with it because it does give you that feelings of old school, you know. Many people have said to me that it sounds like, you know, back in the days of the Whispers, and it does. But the interesting thing is that sometimes I wonder if the music kind of matches the person, mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, sometimes I think people can create music and then you're really not sure whether it's actually something they really feel, it's just something that they write. Mm-hmm. I believe that I can say, you know, that Mark feels the music that he writes. He's old school. He is very much a gentleman, you know, the type that opens doors and you know, he prays over food when he comes to Seattle. And we meet, you know, usually Kimura's, you know, with me and stuff. And, you know, he blesses the food before we eat. And, I mean, he's just very much a gentleman and a very, very caring person. And so it kind of, in my mind, it matches. And so I want to play, let's see, what piece do I want to play? I'm going to play I'll Be There for You by Mark Van Claggett.
I'll never let you down.
DeLon and Mark could really, really do some things. And I'm going to try to connect you. He's just travels so much. And, it's, you know, I've been trying to set up radio interviews for him, and it's been really, really difficult because, like, he'll be home, you know, for a few days and, it, you know.
Back on the road.
Then he's back out on the road. There was a point where he was off for like 2 weeks in Vegas, but he was in the studio, you know. So it was just like, you know, making, and the people who, you know, we were trying to set up, you know, interviews with, they weren't available when he was available. So it's just really interesting. That's definitely the challenging thing, but I definitely want to connect you with him, DeLon, just because I think that your styles definitely would complement each other. But,
yeah, I love
you know,
that song. That's great.
But again, it's like, you know, to me, that type of music embraces relationships.
Right.
You know, and like what, you know, what you sang just now, or even like, you know, your song, you know, Happy Home, or, You know, I mean, those type of songs to me embrace relationships. You know, even, is it the Shy Lights that sing Have You Seen Her? I don't know.
Have you seen her?
Is it the Shy Lights?
Yeah, it is the Shy.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, like, even, you know, when you think about a guy, you know, thinking about, you know, a girl he really cares about, you know, and something like that, you know, to me, you know, I mean, even like, you know, me and Mrs. Jones, you know, it's just like, you know, that it was interesting, you know, how that song is, you know, I mean, I sang that as a teenager, you know, and it, maybe not necessarily an appropriate subject, you know, for a teenager to be singing, but for some reason, you know, it seemed like it worked. So I want to go in a totally different direction. Somebody had thrown out there today, you know, Marsha Ambrosia is somebody that they like as far as, like, relationship. You know, so hear me. You know, I'm like Googling and I'm trying to find, you know, MP3s to upload and everything. This is what I came up with for Marsha Ambrosia. It's called I Hope She Cheats on You.
Basketball player, hope that she Kim Kardashian her way up. Don't know the difference between a touchdown and a layup. Got you on Viagra in order for you to stay up. I may sound bitter, I'm a little bitter, just a little bitter, because you were with her. I'm Salt Lake City, now I'm up on another picture. Remember how it was when I was with you, baby. Sex so good, do you remember? Oh, baby.
Hey.
show with I Hope She Cheats on You.
I can't even front. That song's hot, but I'm not even going front on that. You know why? Because she made it musical, and, you know, sure, you know, for a lot of women, that could be an anthem type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a guy, and that would be directed at, you know, at a guy, of course, but,
right.
You know, but I'm sorry, if it's hot, it's hot. You know, I mean, she delivered it with conviction and stuff. So, I mean, that I don't really have an issue with, because, you know, she didn't unnecessarily start cursing and getting crazy with it. You know what I mean? She, that's how some women feel, you know, if their guy goes out on them like that. So,
right.
It's a good message, so, you know, plus, I'm a sucker for great harmonies and things like that. So those type of things, when that to bring those elements in, that's cool with me. And it wasn't unnecessarily monotonous or anything like that. It was, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a real issue with that. Plus, I kind of respect her. You know, she's written for Michael Jackson and things like that. You know.
Oh, we're not asking about that, DeLon. No, but,
I know.
No. You know, but I feel you on that, too, because, you know, I have to admit, when I found this song, it kind of tickled me and made me smile, like, you know, because, I mean, no matter who it is, whether you're a man or a woman, and, you know, you've been cheated on, you know, or whatever, you know, a relationship goes bad, you know, whatever, you know, you want to say something in return, right? You want to do something in return.
Yeah.
Some of us, you know, do, and some of us don't or whatever. But, you know, with that particular song, I could see even myself, my old lady butt on the dance floor, and that came on, and, you know, moving and singing the words, too, and just being a little bit, you know, dramatic with it or whatever. And it'd be, in a sense, all in fun or whatever. But, you know, it is a direction of, you know, addressing, you know, a concern that, you know, many people go through.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, it was in a fun way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that song I didn't really have an issue with, because it didn't, you know, it wasn't way out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made its point. You know,
right.
And plus, you know, it still had some musical elements in it. You know, it just had some pieces in it that I could get with.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't overly monotonous either. You know, like, sure, that, you know, that style now of repeating words, you know, over and over. You know, that's that hook, and, you know, they do a lot of that now. I think sometimes
mm-hmm.
that part gets overdone, but it wasn't, you know, to the point where I was like, oh, my God, when does it stop, you know?
Right. Okay. For those of you that are just tuning in, this particular show is, you know, we're talking about music versus relationships, you know, how over generations music may have influenced how we think and feel, or what directions artists have gone with it. You know, I'm trying to go way back in the day, some old school, to then, you know, trying to come, you know, up to, you know, music that's being put out today. As, you know, if you know me, you know I'm so not up on the music nowadays on mainstream, because it's not something that I pay attention to. You know, I'm about supporting underground independent artists, you know. But, so I had to really dig deep. I was asking people for names and tracks and stuff to see if I could find something, you know, to upload or whatever that, you know. I wasn't as worried with the words or anything like that, because it was taught, you know, this show was going to be about, you know, how people are viewing relationships. What is it that they listen to when they feel something in a relationship? And I know that it could have definitely delved a little bit deeper, you know, if I had a better grasp on music that's being produced now out in the mainstream, you know, arena, but I'm just not so up on that. I think this might be something that would be fun to, you know, come back and address on another show. And if there's anybody that is actually on the phone line listening to the show, and I want to thank everybody who's listening to the show live, please feel free to raise your hand. We've still got like 15 minutes left in the show, and you can call in. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. We're talking about relationships and in regards to the music that we came up with and what's taking place now. I'm looking at my list. What else did I upload? You know what? I think I'm going to go way back, and I'm going to play Oh Girl by the Shy Lights. Godmom and her sister and friends would listen to, and we only got to hear a peek a peek of it, peep of it, you know, through the door, you know, because we weren't allowed even in the same room, you know, with grown folk back in the day. But it's music that just, you know, it just kind of makes me smile. It warms my heart just even like listening to that song, you know, right now. So today we're talking about relationships and music and how music can influence how we think and feel. You know, what music do we gravitate to when we're feeling, you know, in a mood, we're in a certain place, whether, you know, we've fallen in love, we have a crush on somebody, we've been hurt by somebody, somebody has cheated on us, we've broken up with somebody, whatever. You know, back in the day, there was definitely music that I know for me, I would put on and I would listen to it. It would help me own what it is that I'm feeling. I think as being a 52-year-old, you know, woman, you know, I call myself a seasoned woman, you know, I think about, you know, falling in love and what that would be like and all of that, you know. And so, you know, there's music that just makes me, makes me think about that. And it's not a sad thing for me. For me, it's a feel-good thing, you know. And I think that sometimes it's okay to fantasize, you know, about what could be or what could have been or, you know, whatever, as long as it kind of goes to a healthy place. I think that music sometimes can be really intense and can take us to a dark place. And for some people, it's kind of hard to pull themselves out of that. And so, you know, I'm not sure if tonight I, you know, answered where my daughter wanted me to go with this particular show. And definitely, I think it would be, again, fun to address this on another show and just see if we can get more people involved and just see what you think about where music takes you, you know, on a personal level when it comes to what you think and feel about relationships. DeLon dropped off the line, which I totally understand. But sissies, what do you think about, you know, music and, you know, where it can, let's say, have a positive influence in how we think and feel about relationships?
Well, first of all, I grew up on the same music you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm 2 years younger than you. So,
okay.
I mean, no, seriously, like, you play the oldies, and I know everyone. You get, oh my goodness, and it's like, she knows, like, it depends on what kind of music and whose kids I'm around. But she knows the words. And you watch my mouth move.
Yeah.
That's for fun. Yeah. But then they're like, oh, I like this. I'm like, I know you will. This, and I wish I... The same way I said earlier, it's oral tune, the music chair,
mm-hmm.
I break the music down. And they're like, really? And I had a conversation like a 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
My staff has come after my home health day. And he's like, but yeah, I said, no. I said, I listen to the word first. If the word is all right, I'll bop my head, do what I got to do, and call a day. But I don't appreciate, like, okay, have mercy. The Drake and the Nick Minaj song.
Mm-hmm.
Against there's an artist who has a song called Adorn. His name is Miguel something.
Okay.
I listen to Adorn over the Nick Minaj's and the Drake's.
Mm-hmm.
It has a beat, but it doesn't depict women in a nigga as a matter. It's like the our music we grew up on, but
yeah.
It's just been up to date and saying how the he was adoring his female friend.
Mm-hmm.
And how she's his stone or his bubble, like it's the depiction of the us in the Bible.
Okay.
So I listened to that over drinking the other fool.
Sure. Well, you know, and I think that there's probably really good music that's being created now, even with mainstream artists. It's just, again, I'm just not familiar with it, you know, but I find it interesting, you know, again, going back to this old school music, you know, I mean, some of it's created, let's see, I'm 52, so at least let's say 30, you know, plus years ago, and you know, you play one of these songs, and I know the words to them. Why is that? Why is it that I know the words to these songs?
Yeah.
And what's being created now? Like, how many songs are being created now, whether it's a mainstream artist or whether it's a underground independent artist that's being created right now that in 10 years you're going to know the words and you're going to know the song? And so I think about that also. You know, and one of the things that, you know, when I listen to, you know, the videos over at Artist House and I, you know, I go and I read articles, you know, by people who are in the industry, in the mainstream, you know, industry, you know, they talk about the fact that when you can touch on something, you know, that and hit an emotion within a person, that's when you got them, you know, and that's when, you know, you'll become relevant to that person. And so, you know, I think about that too, and I would definitely challenge the artists coming up now is, you know, what is it that you're creating and how relevant is it to not only your own life but to other people's lives? And I think that if you can touch on the emotions that people feel, I think that you can, you know, gain a fan. I think that if you, you know, create something that they can embrace, you know, even if it's something that's fun, you know, that they go out and dance to, you know, or if it's a jazz piece that just, you know, takes them in a certain direction, whether it causes them to relax, you know, or energizes them. I think that if you can touch on where people are at right now and they experience you, that's when you will gain more of a fan base than to go out and be, you know, a puppet and mimic, you know, somebody else, you know. So anyway, so we've got like 3 minutes left in the show. Is there anything else you'd like to share about what this topic is that I did the show on tonight, Spicy?
It is music is about more than just words. Music is like having an emotion. Music is something to get you moving, and it's also an outlook and how music helps you to move. It helps your emotional. It helps you recognize the emotion that one is going through.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you, and I think again, you know, you touched on it too. You know, when you can hit on the emotions of an experience, I think that's when people will really, really gravitate to what you're creating, you know, if it's something that they can feel. I know when it comes to literature and books that I've read or poems that, you know, I experience, if it's something that I can feel, even if it's not necessarily my own experience, but if you can get me to just feel it and pull up my emotions around it, that's when I'm paying attention, you know. And I'm all for a great beat. A lot of times I think when certain music is put out, you're hearing the beat versus the words. And then all of a sudden, if you really like the beat and the words, you know, start, you know, kind of being subliminally, you know, put into your thoughts in your head, then you're like, is that really what the words are to this particular song?
See, you said I do the opposite. I listen to the beat, yes, but I can't, with me, I can't tune the beat out. You know, yeah, it's hard first to tune the beat out and listen to the words. If the words are somewhat okay, maybe. Just a maybe. But it also depends on who. Like, I'm not melody rap. I'm not a big fan of it. But first thing out, yes. But today, no. You can be gangster and still be a rhythm rap artist. You can still be a poet, but be a hood poet.
Sure.
It's just how people embrace things that makes the music what it is. But you don't have to be in those particular areas to be all cussing out female because you don't have a bad day. So, I mean, it's how the individual looks at it, too. It's how they look at music, but it's how they look at their music. As opposed to critiquing everybody else's.
Because
you know and I know that we got a few artists for going on who can sing, but to put melody down to the words, they look as spoken artists, and then rap on it, because rap on speed it up. That's where it comes in. Because when they do their pieces, they speed it. It's like they're going double time. And that's what the difference is between rap and spoken artists. Rap speed it up to where spoken artists, they speed, but they also want to be heard.
Some
rappers don't care to her, but it's a hot beat that adds a hot beat to the track. And then when the parents realize what they listen to, they want to snatch them off it. You can't do that except you can introduce them to the music you grew up on. So you don't have to walk back on negative images.
Right. No, and this is when it comes down to artists are very, very powerful, you know, and they, you know, if they're creative, they should be able to go in all kinds of different directions with what it is that they create. I think that many artists either want to be rebels and put something just so raw and shocking out there to see where people's reaction will be. And I think that there are others that, you know, play into what it is that their honest life circumstances are. You know, and then there's ones that create what they think is what's selling out there, you know, and to the consumers and the media, well, who, you know, the style of what's being paid attention to. And again, I think that, you know, if music is wrong and raw and not appreciated and people don't give it the time of day, it's not going to sell. But as long as we pay attention to it and we support it in whatever way it is, whether it's on radio stations or whatever, it's always going to be out there, you know. But artists have the power, you know, to change that movement in the direction that, you know, of what's being appreciated and noticed out there, you know, in you know, the world of, you know, creating, you know, this amazing sounds, you know, that people crave. Because the bottom line is we crave music. We just do, you know, pretty much every single day. I'm sure all of us experience some kind of music. And, you know, but, you know, it saddens me when there are artists out there that take it in a direction and you know, and I guess I would say, you know, go, you know, in a negative way, you know, and put out messages that just aren't necessarily what I would consider wholesome. And, you know, and I miss the times when music felt safe, you know, and music, you know, touched me. And it was almost like it was created just for me. I remember going to a Luther Vandross concert, and oh man, I got tickets late. It was way up in the rafters in the Paramount Theater here in Seattle. But can I just tell you that, you know, it felt like Luther was singing to me. You know, like I was the only one in that theater, and that's the kind of music that I really miss, and I really, really kind of crave. You know, but you know, we could continue this conversation. The show, it, you know, is over with. It is still recording live, though. But I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. I do think that I am going to revisit this because I think it's a great topic. And, you know, hopefully I can get, you know, some more music of what people, you know, are leaning towards nowadays or whatever. And, of course, you know, I can upload some more old school music or whatever, because it was really good for me to just listen to some of this music tonight and make me smile again and just challenge myself when it comes to the music that's being played now. So I thank everybody who, you know, hung out on the phone lines with me, to Spicy and DeLon that participated in the show, to everyone who listened to the show live in the wings, and those that come back and listen to the archives. I would love to hear what your opinion is of what you heard tonight. And I would invite you to come back, you know, when I bring up this topic again on probably a coffee house show again. So I'm going to close out tonight's show with a piece by my girl, Monica Monet. You know that I work very, very closely with her. But, you know, I understand the stories behind her music, and maybe that's a beautiful thing, you know, that I'm blessed that way. So I am going to play her single, which is off of her Simply Beautiful CD, and this is Gravity. Good night, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Flava Coffee House Online Radio Style.
do love's got to hurt? Why it can't be easy? Tell me. Don't